So on Vavmitzi Yudamid Beis, let's just review. The Gemara had a kasha on Ravina. We spent a lot of time in that kasha. Elameyata ha'omer li'isha v'yevet su'u v'ginvuli, ginvuli, actually, ginvuli. And the Gemara thinks that therefore the Mishalech should be chayev, and we should apply. Yeah, I'll get it.
Just close it.
And therefore, we should apply the principle of yeshliach l'dvar aveir according to Ravina, because we only say ein shliach l'dvar aveir when the shliach is a bar chiyuva. Now Tosis dibra maskil isha v'eved. It's a small Tosis. And he quotes a Gemara in Perek HaKones, HaSholech es HaBe'era B'yad Chereshot V'Katon Potur. So he sent a Chereshot V'Katon as his shliach to burn down someone's haystack, and he's Potur. Fektosus V'amai V'olav B'nei Chiyuvaninu. We just finished saying that according to Ravina, if the shliach is a lav bar chiyuva, then the mshalech is chayiv, and we say yesh shliach udvar vera. How is Ravina going to understand the Mishnah, or shall we say, reconcile himself with the Mishnah in Bava Kama? Because since the chereshot v'katan are not b'nei chiyuva ninu, therefore the mshalech should not be potter. In other words, he should not be exempt from the din of shlichus. We should say yesh shliach udvar vera. Now notice that Tosus is assuming an equation here between Gneva, which is our case, where the Isha is a lav bas chiyuva, and the case of Mazik, of burning down someone's haystack. And there too, the Shliach in this case is a lav bar chiyuva ninu. Now Tosus is also assuming an equation here between Isha and Chereshot V'Katan, meaning the reason why an Isha is a lav bas chiyuva is because she doesn't have an independent financial basket, so to speak. She has no independent monies that can be sued, and therefore there's no chiyuv compensation. In the case of Chereshot V'Katan, there the reason why ein shliach l'dvar vera, or shall we say the reason why there's no shlichus, and the reason why it's a lav bar chiyuva, is simply because we're talking about a lav bar das. You know, lav bar das, in the case of Chereshot, that's a lot more, shall we say, fundamental of a chisaron than the case of an isha. An isha is a lav bas chiyuv for technical reasons, but maybe Tosus means to ask in a kal v'chomer way. Madoch, in the case of an isha, where her lav bas chiyuv is because of this barrier that they can't force her to pay, and yet you say yesh lichu dvar vera. So certainly in a case of Chereshot V'Katan, which they're so completely mufka from the Chiyuv, they'll never be Chayiv as a Katan. Certainly we should say Yesh Shliach L'Dvar Avera. But then we have to ask another question here in Tosfos. And that is, okay, Yesh Shliach L'Dvar Avera, but Yesh Shliach L'Dvar Avera fits in, L'Chora, to the general category of Shlichus, meaning, let's analyze it. Again, according to Ravina, is there shlichus in the Dvar Avera? Is there not? And it all depends whether it's a bar chiyuv or not bar chiyuv. There's no absolute rule that excludes shlichus.
Adam, a basic question, if you don't mind. But there is not. What's the Avera in Bava Kama?
The Avera is one of eight possibilities. I don't know if I want to give the shir. You can hear this online, by the way. I don't know how many years ago I gave the shir. I started putting up my shirim on YU Torah about 10 years ago. So it's not more than 10 years ago. But I gave a shir on what is the avera of being mazik, of destroying someone else's property. The biggest chiddush is Rabbeinu Yonah. Rabbeinu Yonah, in his commentary on Avos, at the very beginning of Avos, claims that to be mazik is a violation of gzela, lo sigzal. That's not simple. Because gzela means when you take someone's property into your possession. That's not happening in the case of a mazik. He simply destroys the property. And then there's a famous chiddush of one of the Balei HaTosfos that we derive the iser of mazik from a kal v'chomer from Hashavas Aveda. That mazik, if I have to return your lost object, and how much more so am I not allowed to destroy your object?
No, that's tashlumin. No, but
No, there's an isa lav of lo sucha l'salim. That if you, you know, if you look the other way at someone's lost object, how much more so if you destroy his object? There's a brilliant chiddush, but there are many, many other possibilities as to what the nature of the isa mas.
So what everybody is agreeing, assuming, therefore, that a mazik is a barbera.
Yeah, I don't know that anyone questions that. I'll tell you why. You can't question that. If you question that premise, you're in trouble. Why? Because the Mishnah says that a madlik gedisha shel chaver b'Shabbos is potter. Why? Because of Shabbos. What does that mean? Who cares if it's Shabbos? So the Gemara explains that's based on a principle of kimlev d'rabamine. Now kimlev d'rabamine only applies to onshim. So if there's no avera to be mazik someone, then you'd certainly have to pay compensation. For example, if let's say Reuven would borrow $1,000 from Shimon, and at the very moment that he borrows the money, he violates Shabbos. He would be chayev. Why? Because there the money is not being paid as an onesh for an avera; it's being paid as a chiyuv that I have to return your money because this money is your money. In the case of Mazik, it's not just that I have to return your money or its value because I destroyed your money, but it's also an Avera and an Onish, and therefore comes under the law of Kimlev D'Ramine. But there are many, many other rayas that Mazik is a violation of an Isur. And therefore, Tosa says, Ein Shlich L'Dvar Aver, but according to Ravina, Ein Shlich L'Dvar Aver is a very limited principle, and it doesn't apply in the case of a la bar chiyuva. Now, in the case of Chereshot V'Kotten as a la bar chiyuva, we should say, on the contrary, Yesh Lichud V'Avera. But I just want to point out one important thing, and that is, if Yesh Lichud V'Avera in those cases of a la bar chiyuva, we're still bound by the regulations of Shlichus. We're not just saying that, you know, Yesh Lichud V'Avera means a hefkervelt, that, you know, you tell somebody, you whisper in his ear to go do something that's an avera, and you're going to be chayev for that. No, you need Torah shlichus. So, for example, you might need a minui shlichus, which is one of the requirements of shlichus. You might need a ben Yisrael, who's a ben bris, because we have a hekesh of shlichus to truma, and in truma, the only person who can be mafresh truma is a ben bris, not a nechar. Now, another principle, or shall we say, condition in shlichus, is you need a bar das. You can't send a shliach who's a lav bar das. Tosis is in his havamina. You'll see how he rejects this in just a minute, but he has an amazing havamina here, really far out. And that is that in shliach l'dvar aveira, you don't need Torah shlichus. All you need is someone who is going to fulfill your will. And if your will is to violate a certain avera, then if it's a la bar chiyuva that you're sending, again, I use the word sending, I don't mean shliach, because you can't appoint a chereshot v'katan as a shliach. The only exception to that rule might be ner Chanukah. I mean, there's a whole diun whether I could appoint a katan as a shliach in ner Chanukah, and he'll light the ner Chanukah on my behalf. In Megillah, I can't be yotze with the kriya of a katan. He's a la bar das, a la bar chiyuva. But in Ner Chanukah, there might be an exception, maybe because afein hoyibo so anes, or maybe because the mitzvah is not really the maisad loka. It's making sure that there's a, you know, that your house is equipped with a Ner Chanukah. And even those poskim who allow a katan to be your shliach, to light Ner Chanukah, it's only if he gil l'chinuch. Because then his adlok is meaningful b'toras chinuch. Fine. But again, as a universal rule, there's no shlichus for a katan. There's no shlichus the katan can't serve as a shlich, and there's no shlichus on behalf of a katan. It works in both directions. But Tosis apparently in his Havamina, and we'll see if we can find any support for this, maintains that in the case of an avera, the shlichus is not chal on the maisa, but rather on the totsas ha-maisa. Meaning, if I set up a katan to burn down someone else's gadish, then I'm considered the goreim of the hezek. I don't need Torah shlichus of shlucha shalom kamoso. Shlucha shalom kamoso is a requirement if you want to get the maisa shliach to relate to the mishaleach. But here I don't need that, because the aver of mazik is not to cause someone to have say mum. like, for example, we go with the Rabbeinu Yonah that it's an Isur Gzeila. If we go with the sheet of other Rishonim that it's a Kal V'chomer from Hashavas Aveda, right? In Mazik, the Isur is the result, is the fact that Ploni Almoni is suffering a Hefseid Mama. You may recall that we once distinguished between Gneva and Gzeila. That in the case of Gzela, the emphasis is on the Maisa Gzela. In the case of Gneva, the emphasis is on the Hefseid Mamon. And that could have bearing on the case of Chatzir, where a Ganav steals something with a Chatzir. And Tosis gives the obvious answer, and he says, V'yesh Lomar, where is it? The Hasa Mishum Dala B'nei Shlichus Ninu. So you can't apply the principle of Yesh Shliach L'dvar Avera because the shliach is a lab bar chiyuva, but there is no shlichus. He cannot serve as a shliach. So now Tosis believes in his maskana that the machayev of nezikin is the maisa hezek, and the katan can't do a maisa hezek on your behalf because there's no shlichus to a katan. So I'd like to study with you page Tuf Pei Aleph, if you happen to have a copy of that.
Just gave us.
Yeah, good. That's good. So first, he quotes a what? So we're on the right side of the column. I mean, our emphasis for today is going to be on the left side, but I just want to point out something on the right side, which he has. In the name of the Achronim, he's got a whole bunch of Achronim here, some of which I'm familiar with, some of which I never heard of. He says the following, Yesha Heiru, we'll call them anonymous here. You can see in the number 209 the whole list here. Lamalo hikshu kenatosis miyad al tirutza shel ravina kisha eno bar chiyuva chayav ha-mishaleach. In other words, Ravina's point was that in the case of Chatzer, the reason why Chatzer could operate on behalf of the Ganov, says Ravina, even though Ein Shliach L'Dvar Avera, we're holding now like Reish Lakish that Chatzer Mishum Shlichus is Rabboi, is because the Chatzer in this case as a Shliach is an Eino Bar Chiyuva. No, at this particular moment, Tosfos could have raised, you know, the following objection. Cherishot v'katan, the Mishnah establishes, is part of Mishalchan. The Mishalech doesn't pay. Why did Tosfos wait until the Gemara came up with a nafgamina? The Gemara attacks Ravina and says, well, according to you, Ravina, the Isha, if she was sent as a shliach to steal, she should be a shliach on behalf of the Mishalech, and the Mishalech should be chayav. And now Tosfos raises the question, well, what about Cherishot v'katan? The truth is that Mishnah should be a problem according to Ravina himself. So forget about the Gemara's Havamina, that according to Ravina, an Isha should be able to serve as a Shliach. Oh, how are you, Jeff? He says, Yesha Tirtzu, where am I? Oh, Yesha Kosvu, Dili'el ha'yefshel etareitz, sha'atam she'chayev b'gneva al'yidei chatzero, hu mishum shlichus, sha'rei hu atzmo ganav, u'moshcho l'chatzero, u'maisav heim she'garmu she'ikones l'chatzero. So it means that the ganav cajoled the animal to enter into his chatzer, and in that sense, he is a gorim. U'mishum kach, Chayev ha-mishaleach she'nol b'fanel l'gonva. So the mishaleach does a maisa of ne'ila, and he locks the door of the chatzer. Again, even though the chatzer is holding on to the object on behalf of the ganov, of the mishaleach, and therefore it's the maisa of the shliach, insofar, again, not an active maisa, but it's a maisa shliach insofar as the chatzer is holding on to the object on behalf of the mishaleach. But nevertheless, there's enough of a participation in the Maisa on behalf of the Mishaleach, meaning the owner of this Chatzer, who intended to steal it, and he took it away from the Nigna, from the rightful owner, and he cajoles the animal to somehow enter into his chutz, and now the chutz grabs onto it. But he actively sets that up by locking the door. And therefore, the mishalech is chayo. But that's not similar to the case of Chayr Shalt V'Katan, because they do the Maisa from beginning to end. Now, Rabos, I'd like to get to page Tuf Pei Beis. So do you have a copy of that page? Again, that's for those who like to see it inside. If you don't mind Torah Shebaal Peh, that's fine with me. Tosis says, V'yishlom d'hasa mishum d'lav b'nei shlichus ninhu. So again, in the case where a person, instead of personally burning down his friend's haystack, he sends a Chayr Shalt V'Katan to burn down the haystack. And in such a case, the Mishnah in Bava Kamma establishes that he's potter. And the question is, why shouldn't the katan serve as a shliach? We're holding now like Ravina that a lav bar chiyuva could be a shliach even for a dvar avera. Yesha kosa v'kavonas atosus. What does Tosus mean in his answer? Shekevan shepirush. I'm sorry. Kevan shebiferush miata Torah katan mishlichus. And this is in the parasha of Truma. Let's see what he says here. Atem gam atem. That's a sugya in Shlichus in Kiddushin, is therefore, Eino ben Shlichus, vismait mi parsha Shlichus, lorak v'shlichus l'kiyam adovar, ela af mi Shlichus l'maisa. So now we have again a distinction, which we've seen over and over again, between two aspects of Shlichus. There's one aspect of Shlichus which is called l'kiyum adavar, which means the impact of and the repercussions of that shlichus. Like, for example, in the case of Kiddushin, you send a shliach to mekadesh an isha, and as a result of the shlichus, she is mekudeshes. That's called kiyum hadavar. And in the case of gneva, if you send a shliach for gneva, that's called kiyum adavar, insofar as the shlichus now sets up kinyani gneva, and the mshalech now has to return the object. He may get profits from the object if the object produces, let's say the animal produces vlados. In addition, he may be chayv kefel in certain cases. All this is the result of the kiyum adavar. However, there's also halach in shlichus as far as the maisa hashlichus, which means that the act of the shliach relates back to the mishaleach. When the Torah says atem gam atem to the exclusion of a katan, and there's no shlichus for a katan, a katan can't be a shliach on behalf of a gadol, what it means is that there's a twofold exclusion of the katan from shlichus. He's mufka, the Torah is mafkia him for shlichus in a double sense. And it means that, number one, he cannot be mekayim the shlichus on behalf of the mishaleach, and therefore the result of his action, any sort of legal halachic change, is completely invalid. But not only that, even the maisa shliach of the katan is excluded from shlichus.
Okay, it's a stupid question here, but yeah. If we have this mefuresh miut of our temkan matem, then how do we have to have a miut that chotzer is spoken directly? Because if there's like this restriction, if you will, to attend.
So again, I'm going to have to repeat myself for the fifth time. Chatzah mishum shlichus doesn't mean what we think it means. And I can't overemphasize this. Chatzah mishum shlichus, everybody agrees that chatzah is mishum yad. And the laws of chatzah that would exclude, let's start with the laws of shlichus that would exclude a katan, have no bearing on a chatzah. Lo mi boy, if I hold chatzah mishum yado is my boy. But even if I hold chatzah mishum shlichus is my boy, it's not the shlichus of a bardas. It's not that we're saying that the chotzer has intelligence and therefore it's the chotzer qualifies as a shliach. What we're saying is the shliach, that the chotzer is an extension of the yad of the bala chotzer. It's like, not only is your yad considered a yad, but your chotzer is also considered your yad. The question is, from whence do we derive this? If you hold chotzer mishum shlichus isra boy means that the ribui is from the parash of shlichus. If the ribui is from the parash of shlichus, then we have certain dinim that apply. But I would like to focus, if I can get your attention here, if just 5 minutes of your attention, on this piece that we just learned. The hafka, the exclusion, the miut of katan from shlichus is a twofold miut. And it exists on two levels, on two planes, and it relates to two different variables. One variable he calls the kiyuma maisa, and the other variable is the asiyas maisa. And this is the key to understand Tosus' answer about why the Mishnah paskins that if you appoint a katan to burn down someone's field, you're not chayev, and there's no shlichus. If you would have assumed that the exclusion of a katan is because of the kiyum ha-maisa, meaning the Torah looks at a katan, and since he doesn't have das, he cannot effectuate a change in the halachic universe, if I could call it that. So that therefore a ganav could not be chayev through the act of a katan, because the act of a katan could not generate kinyanim. And all the chiyuvim of a ganav are a result of the kiyum ha-maisa, meaning the existence or the emergence of a kinyan. If that's why a katan is excluded, that would have no bearing on the case of mazik. In the case of mazik, we're not trying to create a kiyum ha-maisa. There's no change in status here, like in the case of kiddushin or kinyanim, as a result of burning down someone's haystack. We could call it a mitzius if you like. It's not a din, it's a mitzius. So here the parsha of shlichus would tell me that shlucho shel adam kemosa means the maisa shliach relates back to the mishaleach. Because again, in Ezekiel, all we have is maisa. The reason why you chayev in Ezekiel is because of the maisa hezek. If the reason you chayev is the maisa hezek, then shlichus would mean that the maisa of the shliach would relate back to the mishaleach. Just so we have one problem, that Nezikin is also an Avera, and we have a principle called Ein Shlich L'Avera. Well, we'll solve that problem if it's a Lav Bar Chiyuva. And since the Katan is a Lav Bar Chiyuva, we should apply the principle of Yei Shlich L'Avera Avera. Tosa's name, when the Torah excluded a Katan for Shlichus, it wasn't a limited exclusion, only to Kiyum HaMaisa, that the Katan in the world of legality has no legal action. Meaning he cannot effectuate any change in the status in Kinyanim and Kiddushin and Gerushin. But it means much more than that. It means that the Maisa, the Katan, could not relate back to the Mishaleach. And again, if you'd ask me logically why that's so, I don't have any answer. I could just tell you that the logic would have compelled me to say that a Katan is excluded from the Kiyum HaMaisa of Shlichus, because that's already a legal change and a Katan is never recognized to effectuate a legal change. But as far as the Maisa is concerned, and here, by the way, he quotes a list of Achronim. I want to quote Reb Chaim again. Reb Chaim was of the opinion, against Rabbi Kiveger, that a Katan has a Maisa. Rabbi Kiveger thought that the Torah doesn't recognize the Maisa of a Katan at all. It's not a Maisa, because if he's a La Bar Das, Rabbi Kiveger was convinced it's not a Maisa. But Rabbi Chaim disagreed. And although Rabbi Chaim would admit that in the case of an Ones, that's a Parsha V'lanar Elos HaDover, the Torah was Mafkir the Maisa, but in the case of a Katan, the Torah was never Mafkir the Maisa. The Halach of Katan is only a Ptur in Onshim. Or the halach of katan is that he cannot effectuate changes, but as far as the maisa is concerned, the Torah recognizes the maisa of a katan. And Rav Chaim had two proofs for this. One proof was from the parsha of Shifcha Charufa, and the halacha is that if a katan is a bar bia, meaning he's 9 years old, and he's royal a bia, then if he has a bia with a chatzi of shivcha, chatzi baschorin, then halach is he has to bring a korban asham. And here's where Reb Chaim was very vocal against Reb Kiveger. Reb Kiveger, you're telling me that a maisa katan is not a maisa. Why is he bringing a korban? A korban is brought for a shogeg, but it's a maisa avera. It must be that since the katan is a ben tes, he's capable of a maisa bia, and that's considered an avera. He needs kapar, and he needs to bring a korban. Reb Chaim had another proof. The Gemara tells us that Raphram, I believe it was. Well, no, it was Varvashi, and Raphram was the Dayan, I don't remember. I can look it up, I think it's on Bava Kama Tzarichez. He burnt down someone's shtar when he was a katan. And the Gemara says he had to pay damages when he became a gadol. Now, why does he have to pay damages when the Mais Ezek took place when he's a katan? So Reb Chaim says, you see from here, that a katan has a Mais Avera. It's just that the Torah says he's potter from onshin. We can't punish him, but he has a Mais. Now, if we apply Reb Chaim to this Tosfos here, then it's wonderful. It really sheds a tremendous light on this Tosfos. Because Tosfos says that we need a mute, we need an exclusion, and that's going to be the Gemara Kiddushin from Atem Gam Atem, Atem B'nei Bardas, Ashliach Bardas, to exclude a katan. And again, when I say a katan here, I'm just shortening my breath here, because the same thing would apply to a cherish and a shote. A katan is being excluded from shlichus. Now, if you're telling me that the Torah went out of its way to exclude a katan from shlichus because a katan is not a bar kiyum ha-maisa, then you haven't told me anything. Pshita maika mashmala. Surely a katan is not a kiyum, not a bar kiyum ha-maisa. The chiddush of the Torah is that his maisa, which is considered a maisa, and in Kol HaTorah Kula we recognize the maisa of a shliach as such, the difference is that his maisa could not be subject to shlichus. Again, I don't know why, but the Torah says so. So I'm in good company. If the Torah says that a katan cannot serve as a shliach for a gadol, it means even his maisa is not related to the maisa. And the nafkamina is going to be mazik. Because in mazik, there is no kiyum maisa. If we're dealing with shlichus in mazik, then it's pure maisa shoya. What is the maisa? Does the maisa relate to the mashalaya through shlichus or it does not? And the answer is that the Torah says that although a katan has a maisa, it's not a full-fledged maisa. It's not enough of a maisa that we can relate the maisa to the shliach, that he can be a proxy and he can represent the mashalaya. Now we understand the Mishnah in Bava Kama. Ein shliach l'nezikin. Not because of the Avera of Nezikin. As far as the Avera of Nezikin is concerned, we have Ravina's principle that yesh shliach l'dvar Avera in the case of a lav bar chiyuva. But as far as the Maisa is concerned, to be Machayev the Mishaleach who sent this katan as if he had done the Maisa Hezek, that we can't do because the Torah excluded a katan from Shlichus. Now, if you will, turn to the next page, which is Tuf Pei Gimel. Okay. Now, in order to appreciate Tuf Pei Gimel, which is the Ritva, we have to again reiterate the Kash of Tosfos. Tosfos doesn't understand, according to Ravina, why is it that if you send a katan to burn down someone's haystack, your potter, why don't we apply the principle of Shlichus? That was Tosfos' Kasha. And we saw that Tosfos' answer was that a katan is excluded from Shlichus. Haritva tirates a kushta tosa hasam shiny shalo omar lahazik. Wow, this is a real ukimta. When the Mishnah says that shilech biyad cheres shota v'katan, shilech saber biyad shota v'katan, it doesn't mean a shaleach the way we always understand shaleach, mean milosh and shlichus. And he appointed him, areini muchan amizuman, to appoint you as my shliach. Name. That's not what happened, says the Ritva. Lo Amar Lahazik, he didn't send him as a shliach to destroy it. El Shenasan Beira Birshusam, he has his torch, and he makes that torch accessible to the katan. Ubeinyan de lo Matzi Maski El Bitzavse de Cheresh. In other words, the Cheresh Shalt of a katan has to do some sort of an action. In other words, there's a dangerous fire over here, but unless you apply the fire to the haystack, it's not going to burn down. And therefore, if there was a havamina that the Mishaleach is chayav, he would not be chayav under the law of mazik, but rather under the law of grama. Why? Because by the very fact that he allowed, meaning he left the Be'ira, this flame, hefker, and he allows the child to take this flame, he was the one who set up the fire. And the question is that enough to be mechayev him b'toras groma b'nezikin? Says the Ritva, im achein amar lehem lahazik, had the mishalef said to the child, I want you to take this torch and alight his haystack. Yeshlichus l'cheirishot v'kot, l'chayvus mishalcha. The Ritva is against Tosis. The Ritva says that in such a case, there would be shlichus. Now again, this is a pella. I mean, Tosis is absolutely right. We know from the sugya in Kiddushin and derivation from Truma that a cotton could not be a shliach. But somehow the Ritva magically assumes that a cotton could be a shliach. If a cotton could be a shliach, then we have a serious problem over here, because then the mishalech should be chayev. So again, if you ask me, what would be the din in the case of the Mishnah? The Ritva is no problem, because he didn't appoint the cotton as a shliach, and you could only talk about groma. Why is it groma? Because he allowed the cotton, maybe even encouraged the cotton to have access to this torch, and now the cotton is going to burn down Yenim's haystack. So that's called groma. The Mishnah thought that maybe in this case the Shaleach could be Chayav. Kamashmala, no, he's not Chayav. Why? Because it's only Groma. But, says the Ritva, had the Shaleach explicitly appointed the Shliach, meaning the Katan, as his Shliach, and he told him exactly what he wants to do, then the Shaleach would be Chayav. And why is that? Because yesh shliach l'dvar avera, according to Ravina, in a case of a lav bar chiyuv. The hikshu, and the Velt asks the question on this ritva, you'll see it in the footnote, number 226, I believe it is, just let me double check that, yeah, 226, which is on the bottom right of your column, it's the shach, wow, this is a kasha, the shach. In Yoredeya, we're going to have a lot of kashas of the shach when it comes to min b'sheino mino and bittel b'shishim, if you remember. But here's the shach in Choshen Mishpat, and he doesn't understand how the Ritva could possibly entertain the idea that a katan, if explicitly appointed, would be a shliach when we have no shlichas for a katan. And here we have an answer of the Nesivus. And we're seeing over and over again that the shach is asking a kasha and the nesivus is knocking it down. And he says the following: Hamid shel katan. We derive from the parash of truma that a katan cannot serve as a shliach. Nemar l'gavi shlichus b'truma. So the original paradigmic case, what we call the malamed, is truma. A katan is excluded from Hafashas Truma, even if he's appointed as a shliach of a gadol. Now we're going to extrapolate with a binyanav from Truma to all cases of shlichus. Well, it's not so simple. Aval shlichus b'me'ilo tficha mechira, u'shlichas yad b'pikadu, nilmedes mi'posuk anemer b'em bi'atzman. V'ein tzorech shi'iyah shliach domin l'shaleach. So again, if your paradigm of shlichus is going to be truma, then we apply the principle of daya levam and adin lios kenadun, which means that just like in truma, you can only send a bardas as your shliach. That's based on the pasuk atem gam atem. So too in any other shlichus, we have to fit the bill of truma, which is the paradigmic shlichus, and therefore there won't be any shlichus to a labardas. The labardas cannot serve as a shliach. But let's say I quote to you a parsha where the Torah is mechadi shlichus in case X, and it's not derived from truma. If it's not derived from truma, then it's not limited by truma. Those regulations and conditions that have to be met for shlichus in truma do not have to be met, for example, the case of me'ilah. So if I send someone, even a katan, to be moel behegdesh, right? Let's say there's a cup of wine that was hegdesh, and I tell the cotton to take that cup of wine for us. You know, we're going to use it for dinner tonight. So the cotton now becomes a shliach for me'ilah, and the Gemara derives from special psukim in me'ilah there in kedushim and beis that there's shlichus in me'ilah. The same thing applies to tvichu mechira. There's a special limud, especially afusa, that in tvichu mechira there is shlichus, and the same thing applies in shlichus yad. In each one of these cases, as opposed to 99% of the other cases, we are not deriving shlichus from truma, but rather we're deriving it from the inner parsha, inwardly the local parsha itself. So when do we say that the shliach has to be a bardas like the mashaleach? That's only in truma or anything similar to truma. But we're not bound by that condition when we get to other parshios where the Torah was mechadesh shlichus in that parsha itself, like me'ila, and in the case of a ganav in tefichah mechira, and shaleach yad bepikadon. Oh, so now in those cases, ein tzarich sheyesh shliach domeh l'mishaleach. So again, if you were to send a katan for me'ila, tvicha mechira, or shlichus yad, then it would be shlichus. Again, I don't know about mechira. Mechira is a little bit complicated because I'm not sure exactly what he means by mechira. I suspect that mechira he means that the katan could be machted through what's called dasacher's machted. Anyway, that for that we'd have to know more. But certainly in the case of me'ila and tvicha, and we're assuming that you have a gadol omid al gava because the shechita of a katan is questionable, but it is a valid shechita. And shlichus yad is just a matter of like a me'ila, of moving the object from one place to the other for the purpose of taking it, absconding with it. Is in all these cases we have an inner chiddush of shlichus in the parsha, and that chiddush of shlichus is that we can go back to square one, and we don't have that hekesh of atem gam atem that we have in truma, that the shliach has to be a bardas and he shove it to the mishaleach. We don't have that requirement. So, for example, he quotes a gemara in kiddushin, I believe. Let me just see, 229. Oh, he tells you it's in Me'ila. Oh, it's a Gemara Me'ila. This is all the Nesivis. And he's quoting a Gemara Me'ila. And the Gemara Me'ila on Daf Chaf Aleph tells us, Shalach biyad cherishal to a katan, if asa shlichus o balabais mo'al. So we see that there is shlichus to a katan in the case of Me'ila. Why? Because Me'ila has its own indigent, its own local parsha of shlichus, and it's not bound by the shlichus of atem gam atem of truma, and therefore katan could be a shliach. And again, Rabbi Moshe, if you'd ask me, I would say that if the nesivus is right, then the shlichus here is not a shlichus on kiyum ha-maisa, but it's a shlichus on the maisa itself, because a katan has a maisa. But on kiyum ha-maisa, which means to change some sort of status in halacha and effectuate a new chalos, a katan is not capable of doing that. So shlichus for kiyum ha-maisa would not be meaningful. But if the Torah says the shlichus, and now we're saying, according to the Nesivus, that parsha of shlichus applies and includes even a katan as a shliach, then we're talking about shlichus on the maisa. And the maisa shliach, in this case of the katan, is related as mitzuref to the mishaleach because the katan has a maisa. Okay, fine. Now, what does that have to do with the case of Nezikin? Well, the answer is, as we discussed at great length, Nezikin is shlichus on a maisa. It's not shlichus on a kiyum maisa. So if that be the case, let's go back to the Ritva. The Ritva is saying that if you appointed a shlich lehazik, what's the din? Rabosai, according to the Ritva, if you explicitly appointed a katan, I can't hear you. He's chayev. Unbelievable. The Ritva says chayev. And everybody and their uncle jumps on the Ritva and says, how can it be chayev? Ain't shlichus the katan. The answer is, ain't shlichus the katan when you're dealing with a shlichus of the spin-off of truma, the likes of truma, where the purpose of the shlichus is kiyum ha-maisa. But if you're talking about shlichus dumya, the me'ila, or tvicha, or shlichus yad, where the shlichus is on the maisa, then there's no reason to exclude a katan. Again, the Mishnah itself in Bava Kamma, in Akonis, was talking about a different scenario, a different case. He was only a gorim, the mashalech. He wasn't a mashalech. He never told the katan exactly what he should do with this be'era. So he set it up in a way that the katan is very dangerous. He's going to take this very flammable object and just move it a couple of inches to the haystack and everything goes up in smoke. But that's only grama. So and therefore he's potter.
If he was a direct cause of the
if he directly appointed him as a shliach, the Ritva says something that's mind-boggling. He says that yesh shliach lekatan. And the Nesivus is the one who wants to try to make sense out of this Ritva. By the way, I'll just tell you a story. I don't know if it's true at all. It's just a... what do they call these things? Urban legends? There's an urban legend that says that... part of which, wait, the introduction is absolutely crude, is Emes Lamito. The Rav, Zichron Lefavor, never quotes the Ritva. I mean, I was 5 years in the Shia, I don't think he ever quoted the Ritva. So the urban legend says that they figured out, I'm not sure if the Rav said it explicitly, why the Rav never quoted the Ritva. He had nothing personal against the Ritva.
The Rashba, yes, but not the Ritva.
Oh, the Rashba, he works hard. Rashba for him is major, major. But the Ritva... I don't know. I don't know if I ever heard the Rav enunciate the word Ritva. So the Meiri, I can tell you explicitly why the Rav was totally cold to the Meiri. But the Ritva, my gosh. So the answer is, again, just take it with a grain of salt, that the Rav felt that the Ritva was a Rosh Hashiva. What do I mean a Rosh Hashiva? That he himself, the Ritva, delves into the depths of the Sugya in such a way that he doesn't leave any room for the Rav to be Mechadish his Chidushim. So the Rav never wanted to look anywhere where he would see explicitly Chidushim. He wanted to always discover the Chidushim. The Ritva works out the whole lumpness of the Sugya, line by line, piece by piece, Svara by Svara. So I'm just telling you that if you meet any of the Talmidim of the Rav and they are a little bit cold about the Ritva, you should understand it's Adarav, it's because of the greatness of the Ritva, not because Chas v'Shalom the Rav didn't have a tremendous awe and respect for the Ritva. The Ritva just chewed it up in such a way that it was very difficult after the Ritva to add anything. And if you know the Rav, he was obsessed, absolutely obsessed with Chidush. It had to be Chidush. If it wasn't Chidush, throw it out. I'll never forget, I told this story many times. I was sitting in Shia next to Rabbi Ilson, and the Rav was stuck. So Chaim says to him, Rebbe, 5 years ago we learned this sugya. This is what you said. And before he got a chance to finish, the Rav banged his hand on the table and says, you forget about what I told you 5 years ago. You listen to what I have to say now. And Rav Tendler supposedly, and this is also a legend which I have to, but this I can ask him, supposedly he learned Chulin by the Rav twice and the Rav never repeated himself. The Rav was just a Mayan Amis Gaber. He was just Mechadish. If you read his Ish Halacha, you'll know the philosophical reason for that. That's how he defines Torah and that's how he defines a man. But in any event, the Ritva here says something by implication that's very profound and very sensational. That there could be shlichus to a katan if only you appoint him as a shliach. Yeah. But it depends what kind of shlichus.
If Miri?
Miri is a different story. If you want, I'll talk to you about the Miri later. But I don't want to speak about it publicly.
Oh, Chaim doesn't quote Miri.
What?
Oh, sorry, Talmud doesn't really quote Miri.
What, this green book?
Yeah, it does.
I think he does, as far as I know. I can't tell you on what page, but if I could do a word search here, we'll have to ask Yechiel when he comes in. I'm sure that the Miri appears on every other page here. But in any event, I was just trying to say something else. I lost my train of thought. What was I saying? Oh, so what's the radical chiddush of the Ritva? The Ritva is saying that you can appoint a shliach, a katan as a shliach, but only if it's not a shlichus duvya de truma. No, it's not a subcategory of truma. Truma is the paradigm of what we call a shlichus of kiyama maisa, and here's where the Torah excludes a katan. But we have another paradigm of shlichus, and that's me'ila and tficha and shlichus yad. They're the shlichus on the maisa itself. If the shlichus on the maisa itself, then the katan has a maisa. And if a katan has a maisa, he doesn't have kiyuma maisa, but he has a maisa, then we could apply shlichus to nezikin, and a katan can serve as a shliach on behalf of the Mishaleach if he was sent explicitly to be mazik something. And that's because Nezikin has nothing to do with Kiyum HaMaisa, but rather Nezikin can be, shall we say, contracted collapse into what we call a Maisa, and that's it. So if you want to take a look, keep one finger on footnote number 234, which is the Nesivis, and look up in the text. And I tried to underline this and even highlight it. Do you have that? Or I don't know if it came out in the photocopy. But he says the following.
No.
I just wanted you to keep your finger on the footnote so you know that we're quoting the Nesivis. Because again, the Nesivis is like, you know, if I had to reduce the history of Lumdus to about 10 different Gedolim, the Nesivis would be one of the first five. I mean, the Rav would spend ages on a Ktsos and a Nesivis back and forth, whether the Ktsos hold, whether the Nesivis hold. To him, a Machlokas, the Ktsos and Nesivis was, what should I say, like a Machlokas between Rashi and the Rambam. It was like a basic kind of thing. And it's interesting, because the same is true about Shach and Taz. Mind-boggling. Shach and Taz for the Rav was like Rishonim. And I would add one other Achron to the list of Magid Avraham. I was in a Shia once, it was in Tinus, and the Rav had a three-line Magid Avraham. It's a tiny little Magid Avraham. He spent 2 hours trying to figure out the Magid Avraham. And if you would have quoted to him most other Achronim, he wouldn't even be interested, he wouldn't even blink. He had his prejudices, what shall I say? If Rav Chaim had the Sefer on his table, and it was an Achron, then the Rav would spend time on. For example, Reb Chaim had the Minchas Chinuch on his table, and it's no coincidence that the Rav would say Shiurim on Minchas Chinuch. I mean, he never said an official series of Shiurim. Anyway, getting back to Nesivis,
I'm just curious.
Reb Kivega was basic, mamish basic. Reb Kivega was basic, but again, the list is I never made the list. It's probably maybe there are 10 members in the list. There are 3 Sfaradim on the list, but 7 out of 10 are Ashkenazim. I'm talking about Achronim, you know, from the Beis Yosef and on. Beis Yosef himself, I don't know exactly where he fit into the Rav's frame of reference. In any event, he says the following. Again, we're talking about Me'ila, Tficha, Mechira, Shlicha. I'm on the right side towards the bottom. He says, as the Gemara derives Shlichus and Me'ila, even in the case of Chere Shota V'Katan. V'chein Hadin Lefi Zeb Shlichus HaNelmedes Michatzer. So now we have Chatzim Mitam Shlichus. And Afilu Asal Yedei Shliach. So it could be that if I ask you, for example, to put the object into my chatzer, and my chatzer now is serving as my shliach, it could be that shlichus is very similar to the shlichus of a cheres shot of a cotton. This touches David on what you were asking about before. But he says, "Din zeshe ein shlichu dvar vera ena mishum sheish miut l'dvar vera shmafkia din shlichus." We're holding now like Ravina, so there is shlichus l'dvar vera. El shem shlichus shel truma efshel l'lmod rak shlichus l'kiyum ha'maisa. So the paradigm of truma is what we call shlichus v'kiyum ha'maisa. And here we understand very well that a katan is excluded because he doesn't have kiyum ha'maisa. Now we're on the top left column. He says, "Avol b'shlichus l'chayves amashalech al ma'isa shliach." For example, in the case of a mazik, ein lilmod mitruma, and that kind of shlichus should be like the case of chatzer, which we said that it's chatzer is like a cheres shot of a katan. But if you appoint the chatzer for that purpose, or you appoint a cheres shot of a katan for that purpose, the shlichus according to the Ritva is meaningful, and it is. And is valid. Again, all this is according to Ravina. Oh, b'makom shalosh shayach ibayavi l'Rav Sama mikemet sheshlichus lechayves hamshalech nilmedes michatz lo nemer miut. There's no miut to exclude a katan. Is yesh shlichus lekatan lechayv mshalcho. V'rak v'shlichus lekiyum ha'maisa nilmedes mitruma ein shlichus lekatan. Avol b'dovrish ha'maisa yesh lo tokef b'fnei atzmo. If the maisa would be meaningful. Because of the mitzius, even without shlichus, kimo sha'amar l'katan, Okay, I'm going to skip Akif Ligodol. We'll get to that in a minute. But Sholach Esakot LaHazik. So obviously the Maisa Hezek is what we're focused on. We're not focused on any Kiyuma Maisa. Nothing changed in the universe as far as Halachic Chalos are concerned. Is Din Ashlicha Shamu Rak Kidei L'Chavisim Shaleach and Yesh Shlichus L'Katan. You know, there's no Din of Kiyuma Maisa. It's only to relate the Maisa back to the Mshaleach and to be Mechayiv in the Mshaleach. And that we can do and derive from Me'ila, Tvicha, Mechira, and Shlichus Yad, even in the case of a Katan. This is a piece from the Nesivus. I mean, this is big. This is gigantic. Now, in the footnote number 220, he quotes a Ktsos. Re'ei b'Ktsos Simon Reish Tzadi Beis, Shekosav Gamkein, Shemoel B'Elu, Al Yidei Katan. So let's understand the difference here between the Nesivus and the Ktsos. Both come to the same conclusion, but for two different reasons. They both assume that in Me'ila and the likes, a Katan can serve as a Shliach and the Mshalech will be Chayav, but for two different reasons. Whereas the Nesivus understood this is mitorah shlichus, but again, it's not shlichus on kiyuma ma'isa, but shlichus on the ma'isa. A katan has a ma'isa, and therefore he is included on the shlichus. Not so according to the Ktsos. The Ktsos is saying that if a katan was sent for me'ila or the likes, it's not yesh shliach, it's not yet Torah shlichus, but rather there's a chidush here that the Torah is mechadish that yechayev for groma. And the difference between the Ktsos and the Nesivus is going to be the case of the Mishnah in Nezikin, in the Mishnah in Akones, of HaSholeach Es HaKatan. According to the Nesivus, if he appointed the Katan as a Shliach, Yesh Shliach L'Dvar Avera, and the Mishaleach, the Gadol, would be Chayav, and the reason for that is because the Shlichus is here is on the Maisa. It's not like Truma, it's like Me'ila, and that Shlichus operates Midin Shlichus Shaladim Kemo, so hence the Mishalech is going to be Chayev. According to the Ktsos, I doubt if he'd be Chayev, because we have a principle called Grom V'Nezikin Potter. Unless, again, just to leave open a little window, I don't want you to, you know, to jump to any conclusions, there's something called Garmi. And I doubt it, but maybe you could stretch your definition of Garmi, that if you give the Katan a Be'ira, a torch, and you tell him, go burn down this haystack, maybe that could be considered Garmi. But for that, you'd have to learn the Ramban's Kudrus on Garmi, which is pages and pages long, and it would probably take you, or take me at least, a couple of months to go through the Ramban and Garmi. So let's put this on the side now and go back to Gemara. We have a few more minutes. And then we'll learn a little bit of Hilchas Taroves. The Gemara says, and we are now in Daf Yudom in Beis, and we're up to Mai Beinayim. So let's see if we can find the place Mai Beinayim from the bottom of the page. If you're counting upwards, I think you would count approximately 11 lines, maybe 10 lines up. Yeah. The first word line is Karchei. Do you have that? Yeah. Mai Beinayim. Ika Beinayim. And the Gemara gives two nafkaminas between Rav Sama and Ravina. Ravina is working with Baruch Yuva, La Baruch Yuva, and Rav Sama is operating with E Boy Ovid, E Lo Boy Ovid. Does the Shliach have a choice to make? Kohen di Omer Lit. Now, in both of these nafkaminas, the Shliach has the ability, the freedom of choice to decide. So Rav Sama would not apply Shlichus in these cases. Rav Sama only applies Shlichus in the case of a Chatzer, because the Chatzer doesn't have the ability to make this decision. But the Chiddush here in this Gemara is that in these two cases, Ravina would say Yesh Shliach L'Dvar Avera. And here we're going to have the Chakir that we mentioned the other day about whether Ravina accepts the principle of Divrei HaRav and Divrei HaTalmud. So the first of these two nafkaminas we discussed yesterday, at least we touched on it yesterday, and that's Kohen D'Omer L'Yisrael Seva Kaddish Li Isha Grusha. So as far as the Shliach is concerned, that's the Yisrael, he's a La Bar Chiyuva, because he has no relationship to this Isur of marrying a Grusha. Tosis points out that if the shliach would have been a kohen, then he violates the isa of lifnei iver, because he's included in the avera of marrying a grusha, and therefore he would be considered a bar chiyuva, even though he himself is not marrying this grusha. He's marrying her off to a kohen who sent him as a shliach, but nevertheless he's a bar chiyuva because he's included in this avera of marrying a grusha. So we're going now according to Ravina, and the Gemara says that according to Ravina, since this is a case of a lav bar chiyuva, yesh shliach lidvar avera. Inami, now we get to the second nafkamina, ish. Now when we say ish, we're talking about a male as opposed to a female. A male is included under the law of lo sakifu piasra sheichem, and a woman is excluded from that avera. So that if a man sends a woman, now here it's interesting. The Gemara says that he sent her to be makiv the rush of a katan. So we have to rack our brains and figure out why dafka the case of a katan, and this is going to be the subject of the last tosfos on the Amud. So lahachlish, the Gemara says kol hecha di yom kol hecha di boy avid di boy lo avid lo machayv sholcho, which means that if the shliach has the choice, well, haninami, in these two cases, if he sends a Yisrael to marry a grusha, or if he sends a mother, a woman, to be makif the katan, is we have here iboy ovid iboy lo ovid. She makes she, or in the case of the kohen as the Yisrael as a shliach, has the ability, the freedom to make that decision. Is therefore, according to Rav Sama, we would have come to the conclusion that ein shliach dvar avera should apply v'lo mechayv sholchan. But lahach lishna, now we go back to Ravina, who says kol hech shliach la bar chiyuva, in this case it's kevin de la b'nei chiyuvin inu mechayv sholcha. There would be shlichus l'dvar vera if the shliach is a lav bar chiyuva. In the case of Yisrael is mekadesh a grusha, in the case of an isha who's being makiv the katan. So that's what we have here in the Gemara. Now, how do we know that a kohen is not allowed to marry a grusha? The Torah says in Parshas Emor, "V'isha grusha mi'isha lo yikachu." And if a kohen marries a grusha, then he violates this isur already at the time of the Maisa Kiddushin. Now, at what point does he get malchus? So Rav is of the opinion in Masechta Tmura, Masechta Kiddushin, that he only gets Malkus if and when he's Boel, after the Be'ila. So the Kiddushin to a Grusha is not enough, he has to be Boel. Now, just to summarize the Bali Atosis, which we've already done, but then I want to introduce the Rashi, so I'll do this very quickly. Hanidon udafka b'kohen sha'omer liYisrael ulam kohen sheshalach es chavero akohen l'kadosh lo grusha hashliach choshev kibar chiyuva v'yafa gav delo ovar al isa grusha ki u makadosh oso l'chavero, and therefore he's not violating the isur, because the only isur is not to do a ma'aser kedushin on his own behalf. Mikol makom kevan shebe isur shal meshalcho gamu muzar, if he shares the same isur as the meshaleach, Hareu nechshav lebar chiyuva, he's considered a bar chiyuva. But Yisrael sheino muzar milakadish grusha, he's not considered a bar chiyuva. That's Tosfos. Oh, now the Rashba. Harashba kasav shegam bekohen sheomer lekohen lekadish li grusha, ein hashliach nechshav bar chiyuva. I mean, this is a tremendous nafkamina. One kohen sends another kohen to marry him a grusha. According to the Rashba, the first Kohen is now married to the Grusha and he violates the Lav, and we don't apply the principle of Ein Shliach L'Dvar Avera. And why is that? Kevan Shulu Lo Muzar L'Kadish Sa Grusha Liatzmo Ela Liatzmo, but not L'Chavera. Wow, it's a whole different definition of La Bar Chiyuva. La Bar Chiyuva, according to the Rashba, means that in this mice itself, we cannot hold him responsible. So, for example, in the case of Gneva, we cannot hold the Isha responsible because she's a Labas Bar Chiyuva. So we always look at the Shliach and ask, what if the Shliach would have done this Maisa for himself? And the answer is, if he'd be Chayev, he's called a Bar Chiyuva. If the Kohen would do it for himself, then he should be called a Bar Chiyuva. And that's Shitas HaTosus. Comes along the Rashi and he says, name. He's not a Bar Chiyuva. Why? Because he's marrying her off to another Kohen. And on this Maisa, he's not considered a Bar Chiyuva. Okay, Rabosei, so let's make a note that we got up to the Rashba, and maybe tomorrow we can get a little bit more, make a little more progress on the Rashba.